After a long-awaited kicking it off season, the boys are back in town with Danny Belcito. Donnie Sherrill with you, as always. But Danny, we just have to be clear here. We didn't realize we were going to really be going into an offseason. The Bucks won the finals, as I probably tell everyone every day that I see them. They know that I'm a sports fan. You might roll your eyes. That's okay. The Bucks won the finals. I almost went into a mode of, okay, that's it. I'm good. I did that Giannis piece. We did the couple episodes maybe after, and then that was it. And we just kind of chilled for a while. But you've got some news that technically it's already broken, but from your personal account, I have yet to see either a bio change. I don't know if you're into that, an actual tweet, or just, you know, so the floor is yours. This is your press conference. I will officially be one of the media members. Take it away, sir. It's all you.
Yeah, so it is big news. I'm one of those people where, you know, when you sign me to a contract or a job, you know, all you're signing is my talents and my work ethic, whatever. You know, in terms of a bio change, a profile picture change, an Instagram post, like, you know, these are things set in the contract, right? These are motives. These are incentives. I need to see more from the other side, right, to be given these extra stuff. So as of right now, I don't think there's going to be a bio change. Not sure there's even going to be any Instagram posts, but no, I'm kidding about all of that. I'm very happy to announce, yeah, I was hired on as the full-time assistant men's and women's tennis coach at Queen's University of Charlotte. And to those who are listening, thinking probably just spat out their water, spat out their food, thought, did he just say Queen's University of Charlotte? That is correct. I did. The heralded rival of my sweet, dear Wingate Bulldogs have hired me on to be not only a part of their athletics department, but the tennis team that I spent the last 4 years competing my heart out against. There's obviously zero hard feelings from me or Coach Boykin. We've known each other since well before I knew what Queen's University of Charlotte or Wingate even is. He recruited me to UNC Charlotte 6 or 7 years ago. He's probably one of the best guys I've ever met. An unbelievable coach. He's coached at every level. It's just a great opportunity. And coaching is something I wanted to try my hand at. I've heard from a lot of different people. I mean, you included, thinking that this could be a role that I could thrive in. And to be honest, you know, we're only a few weeks into the job, but it is strange to me that I get paid to do this. I mean, that's the truth of it. It feels almost like I'm cheating the system. Like, I get to wake up and talk tennis. I have an unbelievable quote unquote boss. You know, he tells me, don't ever call me your boss. You know, we work together. How many people listening out there can say that their boss has said, don't call me boss. We're coworkers. We're partners. It's very rare. And I'm working in a sport that I love. So I have heard from some that will remain nameless that there has been some talk around the Wingate community asking about my loyalty and asking if I truly am still a Wingate Bulldog. Hey, all of those degrees that I have from that university, all of those trophies that I have in my room and that I've contributed to the Wingate athletics program, those all still exist. Everybody knows where my heart is, but unfortunately there was no opportunity to get a full-time job at Wingate right now. And that was my first choice. So here we are, 2 weeks into a brand new job, new journey, new adventure. I'm learning more every day. Can't tell you how excited I am. You know, Donnie says this is breaking, but I have told him about it. We've talked about it. And, you know, it's a great opportunity, man. I'm happy. And to be honest with you, anybody who is questioning why I did that, or, you know, why I'm doing this, blah, 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 I'd be hard pressed to believe they would not do the exact same thing if they were offered a full-time position in the department that they liked to be in about as good of an opportunity as you can be. So to those people, whatever, you know how I am. I'm never going to pay attention to that stuff. But to the people who have, you know, shot tons of messages congratulating me, saying that they wish me the best, nothing but love, you know, love and respect to those people as always.
I just want to say too, for the record, on the record, that I was in a situation almost like a Woj or a Shams, where I could have leaked this news, Danny, and I think this adds to, if you look at my 2K card, my credibility, I think Wemby went up to like a 95, 96, probably one of the highest in the game. Just kidding. But also seriously, I remember when you called me, I remember where I was, not to get too, you know, deep or personal, but something that we talk about and that we really instill in our daily conversations, like you just mentioned, you know, not really letting it set in yet that you're getting paid to be a tennis coach. And I remember when we had talked back in the spring and you would always say to me, you know, I'd rather do something for half the salary, what, you know, regardless of what it is, but making it something that I love. I remember when you said that to me. And then when you called me and said, you know, Queens, this, this, and that, I'm like, look, I may have cut you off a few times, basically saying like, dude, this is too good to be true. This is literally what you prayed for, what you asked for. So congratulations. I know I've said it to you more times than I may have said hello, Danny, over the last, 2 months? But could not be happier for you. I will say that even though I am currently a Wingate student and it is frowned upon to have any, I guess, love for Queens, the moment that I'm not living here on campus, I will don any Queens attire that you bless me with to support you, because you are my brother, and just excited for you, man. But I have to ask you this, just for everyone else to hear. It wasn't too long ago that you were a student and you were roaming the campus as just a young buck. And now you've transitioned into a role where I also will say, not to let your head explode and, you know, mess up our Zoom call, but I think that we had talked about this with our good buddy, Sam Hyman, that I looked over at him when you were talking about it at the Knights game tonight. And I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't be shocked that if in 10 years, Danny's at a high powered D1 school, power five D1 school, and you're coaching tennis and you're freaking loving it and you're nationally known, you know, you're going to make your mark, man. And this is a perfect spot to do it at. But I like I said, I have to ask you, what was that like setting your stuff down in that office and going by Coach Belsito opposed to Mr. Breezy walking around Wingate's campus? What was that like?
Yeah, man, it's funny you ask that, because if I think about it, first of all, you know, before we get too deep into this, I've told all the players I've met so far, please call me Danny, because I feel the disconnect just as much as I'm sure they do, especially some of the players who competed against me. I would never make them call me coach, just because I think, you know, although I'm trying to help them, you know, a lot of the times I think the word coach and the terminology coach gets abused by coaches, like call me coach, call me this. And it's a similar thing. And I don't mean to talk down on any teachers or educators or professors, but it's the same thing when there are some teachers, and I know you know what I'm talking about, when they're kind of a jerk about it, when you don't call them doctor. I'm like, hey, listen, I get it. You spent 8 years to get this degree. I understand. But like, if you are forcing me to call you doctor, like maybe it means a little bit more to you, just the title, than actually what you're doing. And in my mind, I don't need them to call me coach to know and reaffirm to myself that I'm helping impact their tennis career. Because I would like to take a little bit of pride in the fact throughout my time as a player at Wingate, I tried to do the exact same things. I'm not changing any of my philosophy as a teammate. When I was a teammate, and my former teammates will absolutely be able to tell you, I didn't hold back from trying to give them criticism, whether it be constructive or emotional in the moment. I wanted to see the best out of my teammates. And although I'm sure some of my teammates probably won't talk to me much in the future because of how I was as a teammate, they know deep down, I always wanted them to be at their best. I always wanted to help them in any way I could. If they came to me, I was there. If they needed a ride somewhere, I was there. And I'm going to keep the same philosophy as a coach. In my opinion, college sports is one of the best avenues to learn life goals and life lessons. And what I was saying earlier, it feels a bit weird because it's not like I've had a full few years of like normal life to get more mature into this role. Because if you think about it, it was 2 August ago. You know, we're in August now. It was 2 August ago. I had my undergraduate degree. And then I spent 16 months working on a master's degree. But during 9 of those 16 months, the world was shut down. And I was sitting in a dorm room, or I was sitting in my house doing the absolute and utter minimum amount of socializing and whatever. So I only had a real full-time job for a few months that was nothing near this industry. So for me to get an opportunity at a school that competes for conference championships, they're constantly in the top 20 in the country. I mean, I couldn't feel any more blessed. I mean, I've gotten a little bit of grief from from some of the other assistant coaches looking at me like, wait a minute, we had to go be a head coach at, you know, somewhere a little bit lower for 5 years before we got the opportunity here. You know, we had to play here to get the opportunity here. And you were beaten up on Queens for 3 years, and now you're getting an opportunity here. And I understand the grief, but I hope as time goes, I'll prove to them, to Coach Boykin, who gave me the opportunity, as well as to maybe skeptics from Wingate and players from Queens, that no matter where I'm at, you're going to get 100% of me. And I think you know that as my brother, as one of my best friends, if not my number one best friend. Yeah, I don't like to do that, but you know where you're at.
Thank you.
You know where you're at, my brother, right? You know, I'm always going to give 100%. If somebody gives 100% to me, I will give 100% back without hesitation in friendships, relationships, my family, anybody. And if you give me 0%, I'm going to give you 0%. I mean, it's that easy. It's a double-edged sword, right? So I'm going to prove that as much as I can. But it's strange. I mean, to be honest with you, it's strange because I am only 24. I'm 1 year removed from playing and playing against the team. So, you know, I think it's going to be a work in progress to convince the team. I've gotten a little bit of grief from some of the seniors telling me, hey, you're going to have to prove your loyalty. I think the fact that I wake up every day and have a lion on my shirt after 4 years of saying it was all about the Bulldogs, I think proves my allegiance pretty strongly. So I don't think they have anything to worry about. They know when it's time to compete, Danny believes in one thing and one thing only, and that's getting the W. So I'm going to do everything by all means necessary to get W's for my players.
I'm excited for you, man. It's a lot happening for you. It's a lot happening for you.
Indeed.
Happy for you, man. It blows my mind, you know, that it's what, September? When this episode comes out, September will be tomorrow. So there you go. This will release Tuesday, August 31st. But a lot's changing. I am done with my undergraduate degree in less than 3 months. No, less than 4 months. That's wild. In a few weeks, it'll be less than 3 months, but I don't want to think about that. Applying for jobs, things are pretty weird right now in terms of just the idea that I don't have to go to school anymore. After I'm done in December, that really hasn't hit me yet, but I'm excited. A lot of good prospects, not to get too deep into it, but, smiles all around nonetheless, man. Nonetheless, I do want to, or if you wanted to pivot in.
Yeah, quick. I wanted to jump in real quick because I know you asked me a question. I wanted to ask you a question, and it comes from the fact that, you know, I don't think too many people know the story of how me and you met. It wasn't, you know, two dudes at Beam, you know, and for those that don't know Beam, it's basically like our quad at Wingate where we hang out on the weekends. It wasn't us coming over something. It was basically through you doing your job. Like, you were doing your job, and I was doing my job as being an athlete, and you and Sam are walking around doing videos, and I ran into you, and I think I actually recorded a video for you guys using one of your phones because you needed some help. It was very awkward. And when I saw you, I immediately thought, oh, who's this guy? Is he a transfer? Had I not seen him? Whatever. Because, I mean, to those who know you, you're a mature-looking fella. You don't look young. And so you're 21 right now. So when I would have met you, you would have been like a fresh 19 years old probably.
Maybe still 18.
Maybe still 18.
Yep.
With facial hair, you know, maybe a bit pudgier than you were now. So you even looked a little bit older.
100% more pudgy. More pudgy.
I wasn't going to say.
More pudgy. No, yeah, but, I was.
And when I saw you, I'm thinking, man, this guy's so professional. He does this so well. I even asked him, like, man, how old are you? Where'd you come from? Are you a senior or whatever? You're like, no, man, I'm brand new here. Like, I'm just starting. I was like, what the heck? Like, this guy's already ready. So the question is from me, right? Acting like I'm a member of the media now. You know, in my eyes, and I'm sure not in your eyes, because I know how you work, I thought you were basically already ready then. You had a path. You were just getting more experience. Now that we're staring down the barrel of your last semester, as weird as that is to say, considering I'm pretty sure I met you in your second semester ever on Wingate's campus in the spring. What have you learned? What are the changes? What has your philosophy changed? Anything? I'm throwing five questions at once, but what's changed in the past however many semesters now that, you know, you were just starting then, and now you're in your last semester, still moving forward in your career, pushing for jobs, pushing down the path. What's changed for you? What have you learned along the way? Where has your game matured?
You threw a bowling ball at my head just now. Well, first I will pivot real quickly to say that I remember moments that stand out in my life, whether it be work-related, friendship-related, family-related, love, anything like that. But I remember the first time I met you, Sam and I were doing a this or that video walking around the campus. You probably had just either worked out or coming from McGee or somewhere like that. We saw you right at the corner near the promenade walking down that way by Starbucks. And I remember the question was AirPods or Apple Watch. And you said that you like to wear Beats because you like to go against the grain. I'll never forget that. Never forget that. And the message that you sent me, where I really realized, one, I knew already, and you know, you could laugh all you want. You were a celeb. I'm like, this guy's, he runs the campus. So this is King Belsito. And when you were going into your final, I guess your grad year. Yeah, it was your grad year when you came back. I remember, of course, just us following each other on Instagram. And when I saw you were coming back, I reached out, just, you know, fellow Wingate guy, like, congrats, man, excited for you. And that's kind of where it started. And I remember I remember where I was. I got back to campus early because I was an RA my sophomore year. Haha. And I was actually at Best Buy in Matthews getting a new screen protector for my Apple Watch.
So you were at Sycamore Commons at the big shopping center.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes, I was. And you sent me a message that man to man almost made me shed a tear of just, wow, the impact that I made in terms of what you thought of me. And we literally had talked to each other maybe a solid three times, blew me away. But that's when I realized it was genuine. When you said, and you even said in those words, you know, you don't go around saying this to everyone, but you're like, you're going to be a star in the industry. You're going to do so many big things. And for me, I never take that. And I take it and run with it, but I don't put it on my forehead. I put it kind of in my backpack. It's there, but it's behind me because I can't worry about that. Like, I have to worry about what's in front of me. And I've never forgotten that, man. So, you know, in the, 3 years we've known each other almost? Is it 3 years? It's over three. No. Around there?
Yeah, something like that.
Haven't forgotten it. So
crazy.
Yeah, you mentioned the first time, so I had to mention that as well. But to answer your question, Danny, a lot's changed, man, in a good way. I think that when I got here, I thought about what I wanted to do with my career, and it was to be on the air, to be doing play-by-play for any sport I could, but, you know, mainly basketball, maybe football, maybe some baseball here and there. But now, I said this to Michelle Cadigan, one of the best people to ever come through Wingate's athletic department. She asked me when I came back, actually moved in back in, you know, a few weeks ago, actually 2 weeks ago tomorrow, which is weird. I feel like I've been here for 3 months now. She asked me, what are your plans after you graduate? I looked at her, I smiled. I said, in the best way possible to say this, I have no idea what I want to do. I don't. I think I could, you know, potentially go into, you know, doing things on the air. I think I could go into writing. I think I could go into this kind of a medium, you know, podcasting and show hosting. I think I could do behind the scenes stuff, media relations, things like that, because I also really enjoy that because it's, you know, out of sight, out of mind, but that really is kind of the, you know, the motor in the engine, you know what I mean? So I've gained an appreciation of that, being that I was in Syracuse this summer. I did so many things for the better. So to answer your question, a lot's changed in that I thought that I was only meant to do one thing, but now I've realized that if I literally just put in the necessary work and then continue to just push it forward, only good things will come from that. And I've also realized that as great as this field is, this industry is, Danny, it's not end all be all for my life. You know, looking at it from a grand scheme, you know, I want to leave an impact on everybody that I meet. I'll always say this. My mom always taught me growing up, people will always remember how you made them feel. And I've said this before, but now I say it even louder. Hopefully it projects to everyone that comes across, you know, any conversation, any interaction with me. I want you to remember me as Donnie Sherrell, not the sports guy, or not the guy that all he talks about is himself or whatever. Not that I do that, but, you know, I want it to be, oh, that's Donnie. I enjoyed talking to Donnie. I enjoyed having a bite to eat with Donnie, walking around, you know, down to earth guy. I never want to be known as a guy that's only in his work, because if that's the case, then you're literally just going to be on a downward slope your whole life, in my opinion. Some people are different, some aren't, whatever. But a long-winded answer to your question, but I hope that sufficed. I'm not usually the one answering the question, so you kind of threw me for a loop there.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of why I wanted to do it. I know you're typically the one, you know, in front of the camera holding the mic asking questions. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to throw a little curveball at this guy and ask, because you know what, I think those are important things to learn and important things to be honest about. And the fact that goals and mindsets and you know, accomplishments along the way throughout your college career can change things for you. I mean, it really can just change your perspective. And I think obviously you probably in your second semester, I think when I met you, you're saying all this nonsense, like I was a celebrity. In my mind, you know, I didn't feel anything except gratitude when I left Wingate. You know, when I was done with Wingate, it was like, I can't believe, truthfully. And like people who think they know me really well and know like the kind of persona, that the breezy persona that I put on as a student athlete, they're going to think I'm lying when I say this. I came into Wingate with one goal and one goal only. And it was a very vague, very like middle of the pack goal. People would be like, hey, what were your goals? And they'd be like, this is a terrible individual goal to have. And just, I just want to leave my mark. Like, that's all. I just wanted, like, somehow, some way, if it was in one person's mind or 100 people's mind or in the athletics department or in my coach who gave me a chance, and I'll say this countless times, he had absolutely no need to give me a chance. The team was doing great. They were fine. And he just decided to roll the dice. I just wanted to leave my mark, right? And to be able to have come into Wingate and experience the things I did, you know, win trophies and set records and meet people like you and Coach Cadigan, like you said, and Sam. And I mean, I won't even name athletes because we'd be here the rest of the podcast just naming athletes who have left a mark on us. I realized when I left, Donnie, and I'm sure you'll feel the same way, and it almost makes me emotional to say it, I wanted to leave my mark. That was my number one goal. And to now turn it back around and be 4 years out, the number one thing I can say is my goal was to leave my mark, and all Wingate did was leave their mark on me. If I never left any mark on Wingate's campus, which I really, God's honest truth, hope I did, it doesn't matter, because who I came into Wingate as and who I left as, I came in as a lonely, sad, had no goals, had no aspirations really, had no idea what was going to come after college, didn't think I could keep a job. And at times, to be honest with you, wasn't sure how long I'd even make it in college. I mean, well, I'm sure one of these days we'll have a real deep dive into our emotions throughout our 4 years once you're done. But until then, I'll just keep it, you know, as PG as I can. I had moments where I didn't think Wingate was for me, college was for me, and I wasn't sure. And to come out on the other side and be like, wow, like I completely turned my life around, completely turned my aspirations, goals around. Like, it's a special, special time in your life. You know, people talk about, you know, college is the best 4 years of your life. I'm not sure about that. And I hope that that's not true for me. I really do. I hope that there's a lot to come. I will absolutely never change my words when I say college is the most impactful 4 years of your life. I mean, it can change you so much. And you, just the way you see things, like even you saying that now, this industry is not the end all be all. A lot of people hear that and they're like, you know, maybe he's not committed. Maybe, you know, he's on the fence about things. No. That's not what I know you. I know that's not what you're saying. What you're saying is I figured out what I value. I figured out what I love. And I'm going to chase that. I'm not going to chase an individual role. I'm not going to chase an individual job title or job description. I'm chasing what I love. I'm chasing something that I enjoy. And that's what I said before getting this opportunity. And I stand by that. At the end of the day, health is wealth. That's mental health. That's being, you know, content with your life, content with what you've done. And I think college taught me that. And it sounds like that's exactly what college taught you as well.
We got deep, didn't we? We literally just got our shovels out, started.
And to be honest, before you respond to the listeners, most of why we're getting deep is because there's not much NBA stuff to talk about. We want to talk about basketball. I watched a few WNBA games this week, was really impressed. Got to watch Sue. I think it's Sue and Breonna Stewart play on the same team right in Seattle. They're Seattle nasty. Storm. They're so nasty, man. But
Elena Deladon is back.
Elena Deladon's back. But ESPN has to do better. Like, you got to make the, like, you have to portray these
this
people
is prime
like the
time too
when
there's
are.
No NBA going on.
They're it's superstars, like Donnie.
Yeah, they are
superstars, and
I
they're
agree.
Just not. They're not putting these people on like they should be. So it's hard to even talk about it because there's no headlines. ESPN,
the
like,
entirety of Vegas
time.
Is
it's annoying.
The entirety of Vegas, they're all nice. Of course, we know, you know, Asia Wilson, Kelsey Plum, Liz Cambage, who actually debuted on The Shop. I don't know if you watched that episode. Did you?
I haven't yet. I need to watch it.
Oh, my
gosh. That group is so good.
Jack Harlow, Liz Cambage, Carmelo Anthony, Jason Sudeikis, Keegan-Michael Key.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. Of course, Matt Carter. Amazing. Go watch that on HBO Max. If you don't have the login, I will not give you mine because I'm sharing it with my sister. So that's also really good. We could talk about that, but I mean, you haven't watched it yet, so I guess not. But no, not a lot's going on in the NBA right now. But with that to be said, Team USA did win gold. You know, that was nice.
Both sides.
Beautiful. Women also won gold. Dawn Staley almost said peace out, and I think she might be done coaching Team USA, which is cool. Trying to think of what else happened, really. Peyton Pritchard scored 92 in a pro-am 2 weeks ago, which is just cool.
Which we need to stop on that, because how many people do we hear Donnie talking about, man, I'm good enough to make the league? You understand Peyton Pritchard is like not no super, super, superstar. This dude dropped 90 points in a pro-am. Not at the YMCA.
Every single... Like,
in a pro-am, dude. Enough with this, like, I could defend these NBA bums. You couldn't guard Patrick Beverly. So enough with this crap that I could play in the NBA, man. These guys are freaks.
The worst players on these teams are all ridiculous. Like, ridiculous. Like you just said, you can't make these accusations. Trying to think of some more NBA storylines. LiAngelo Ball might be actually coming to Charlotte. So we're going to have to go to some games. Maybe do an IG live at a Hornets game. What else is going on? I mean,
I don't know. I watched the Summer League games. It's funny. One Saturday night, I was actually out at a bar and they had Summer League on, which was the worst thing for anybody around me because all of my focus was on the Summer League game and it was the Hornets Summer League team. So I'm like, dude, I'm not watching any of this. So what I actually think it might have been the Hornets versus the Warriors or like the Warriors versus it was something like that, a game I wanted to watch. And I watched the whole thing and like the quality is so good. Mm-hmm. The problem is with Summer League and what confuses me, why is the Summer League so heavily broadcast yet that G League or Development League that Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga and these guys were in was barely shown? Like, yeah. Why am I watching Sierra Canyon more than I'm watching this Development League? Like, in my opinion, they got to put a little bit more into that. Like, I feel like it can be a really good avenue, a really good medium for these players, but it just seems like they're not fully committed to it yet. Like they are to a Summer League or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I also would say too that in terms of a storyline, Amani Bates committed to Memphis. Him and Jalen Duren are going to be together, 1 and 2 in the, I guess, I think it's 247's rankings. That's going to be fun.
Which basically guarantees he's going to play 1 year and probably take ceramics all semester. And because there's no way he's staying longer than 1 year there.
I'm just shocked that he even picked Memphis. Like, I get that Penny's there. I get that Rasheed Wallace joined that staff, Larry Brown. Like, you know, you got all these guys there to help you win and help you develop and learn how to be a pro. But you could make, what, a mil going to the G League? And we saw what it did for Jalen Green. He's ridiculous.
Here's my thing, though, is I think I understand it a little bit more because of the NIL.
That's true.
Because Amani Bates is going to make more than a mil. He's going to, like, that mil would have been cool, but him being, because he could easily.
The Memphis Fried Chicken joint is going to
pay. That's what I'm saying. He could easily be the best player in college basketball. I mean,
he will be. Probably.
He will be, right?
Yeah.
At least projected. So a matter, that, in my opinion, think about, for example, Ben Simmons when he was at LSU. Everybody was looking like, why is he not going to Duke or Kentucky or whatever? Well, because he wanted to be a clear rising star, the shining star of the team. And back then there was no NIL.
The shining star of the team that didn't make the tournament.
That didn't make the tournament, right? But he was clearly one of the best players in college basketball. Everybody knew that.
Yeah.
And he was way better. And you could tell that he was way better because he was playing there. I think a lot of that was maybe why Josh Christopher went to go play with his brother at Arizona State. They already know that they're going to the league. They already know that they're the highest prospect. So now Amani Bates is going to go to Memphis, probably average like 28 and 14, probably sign a deal with like Verizon or something for $2 or $3 million. And he's like, why would I not do this? Because let's be honest, man, we were just talking about college. The amount of fun he's going to have in that 1 year, more likely probably one semester. He's probably not even going to be in school in the spring. He's probably literally just going to play basketball and take like two classes. Like, he's going to have a good time. I mean, playing in front of those crowds, meeting girls, you know, joining the ranks of Memphis greats. I mean, he's going to be enjoying himself. And let's not get it twisted. He's going to make plenty of money during this year.
Yes.
And he's going to make plenty of money when he gets drafted, most likely number one overall.
And he's going to be making now legal money I will say, because all those guys have been making money. Let's not get that twisted.
That's a good point. Yeah,
it's legal money
that's,
now.
That's fair enough.
I money did remember, on the books. Yeah.
Not in the safe.
I did remember one other thing I wanted to touch on, and I saw this, and I think it's a debate. Actually, I forgot a third guy who I saw on the thread. I forgot who tweeted this, but it was basically saying, who is the tech fleece? For those of you that don't know what a tech fleece is, my dad probably is going to be listening right now. Dad, a tech fleece is pretty much just a matching Nike zip-up jacket with nice joggers, color-coordinated, not mismatched, not Nike and Adidas, or you know anything off-brand. It's Nike, and those are the best ones, let's be honest. And they just look good. So the question was, who is the tech fleece king in the NBA? Originally, it was Ja or Giannis. And then I saw someone say Paul George, because I also saw a picture of Paul George with his custom logo on a tech fleece, the PG logo, which is almost saying, okay, right, I don't like his logo. Let's just say that too. Let's put that in the open. But he has it on a tech fleece, okay, which is great. But then I see all these pictures of Ja Morant. Sure, yeah. Oh, I'm so cozy. I'm so cool. Giannis has tech fleeces that have Bucks logos on them that aren't even the colors of the Bucks. I think that's next level. Yeah, I'm biased, sure. But it goes back to, I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this right now. It goes back to Giannis being a humble guy. All he wears is tech fleeces and like nice Jordans and just nice Nike tennis shoes. He doesn't wear these funky outfits. He doesn't look like an idiot walking down the runway. He looks like a guy who's there to hoop. Not saying Ja doesn't. But at least humor me and say that it's an argument and it's not just Ja running away with it. Please.
Well, I mean, you had me on the argument until you started describing my type of people as idiots walking down the runway, because we both know if I was in the NBA, that's not exactly idiots. What I'd be doing. I would be dressing like Russell. I'd be dressing like Kyle Kuzma. You remember when Kyle Kuzma wore that mesh like fishnet shirt and just got torched by all the Lakers players? Like he wore it literally with like a mesh fishnet shirt with like some crazy pants. That's exactly how I would dress. So you had me with the argument. I was in on the Giannis thing and him being whatever. Here's where, in my opinion, the decision is not really that hard. And I'm going to bring you a comparison. When we talk about the sneaker king, right? Who's the sneaker king, Donnie?
PJ Tucker,
right? Easy. But who is the number one person to refer to PJ Tucker as the sneaker king? And that's PJ Tucker. Like PJ Tucker owns it, right? In my opinion, that's why I got to give Ja the king, because Ja will post a photo and it'll say, I'm so cozy, or cozy in my tech fleece. And he runs right into it. Like, this is my thing. Giannis kind of does it. And because, yeah, he's a humble guy, he might not walk into it so much. But in my opinion, like, the tech fleece, I believe, is like a Nike term. So like when we're talking about matching like jogger to jackets and it's like with the PG logo, that's not a tech fleece. Like that's just the jogger and zip up jacket, which by the way, it's hard for me to even have this debate because I'm so not a zip up jacket guy. Like, I don't know why I'm such of a more pullover hoodie type of guy or a pullover type of guy. Like, I don't like the zip up jacket, but for some reason, in my opinion, and this is going to be crazy, right? In my top three for tech fleece rocking, it probably goes Ja number one, Giannis number three, and number two would be our boy Josh Taylor. I mean, we're talking about two guys who just run down Tech Fleece Boulevard more proud than anybody else. And for me, that counts more, because I think if you're Russell Westbrook, Kyle Kuzma, Shai Gilgeous, like you're walking into the I'm dressing like I was in jail for the last 4 years, 5 years, and like this is what I thought the style was. Like that's their aesthetic, right? That's their fashion, like, you know, inspiration. For me, when I see Ja, I'm like, you know what? His inspiration is the comfy tech fleece. Giannis's inspiration is just, I want to be the best basketball player. And as much as I can respect that and give him that, I can't give him the trophy. He's got enough trophies done. I get it. You're a little biased, but at some point we need to stop handing this guy trophies. So I'm going to leave this one to Ja. I believe that's probably going to be one of the only trophies Ja gets his hands on in the league as long as he stays in Memphis. So Ja, I think unless you're trying to win the League Fits Tech Fleece Award, I think it's time to start dressing different and potentially go play on a different team. But
all right.
No, I'll give Giannis number two. I mean, he definitely does wear it more than you would suspect it. And the reason why you don't is because he doesn't yell it out as much, right? I think
because that's him. And look at him. Look where he is right now. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. I mean, he's the MVP. He's the champion. But he's not up there in league fit conversation. So I'm not going to sneak him in there and take away from these other guys who, let's be honest, most of these league fits guys, that's all they're getting. You got to leave them be.
Thank you.
Then again, the Sneaker King is freaking champion too. So
yeah, but he tore my heart out of its rightful place in my chest and went to Miami. So that's okay. On to close out fittingly, two documentaries, one that's already been made, one that's being made about basketball, Malice at the Palace on Netflix. Have you watched it?
I have not. I need to.
Danny,
I'm not a TV and movie guy, Donnie.
I'm not either. But
I'm always behind.
I saw this and I literally watched it, I think, the day after it came out. I am asking you from the bottom of my heart this week at some point when you have time, please watch it. It's so good. Second, did you see the news about Dennis Rodman's new documentary?
No.
48 Hours in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. We're doing a live stream after that, watching it together.
We're definitely watching it together. Oh, that's not even a question.
I cannot wait.
Here it is. Yep. Dennis Rodman's infamous 48 Hours in Vegas to get feature treatment from Lord Miller for Lionsgate. So he will be documented at its fullest. I am so excited. Those 48 hours, I don't know if I were Dennis Rodman, well, I guess that's a very open-ended thought, because if I'm Dennis Rodman, I don't know if I have many like clear, concise thoughts. But for me, though, even if I had a 48-hour vacation in Vegas and I went absolutely crazy, I don't know if I'd want that out there. But I guess he's just like, here, have it. So I'm excited. That's going to be nice. While you're reacting, I'm going to find the release date.
No, that's great. I can't wait to see that. I think because of like The Last Dance and even like the McGregor movie, you know, that's still kind of a documentary. I think this is something that's going to be very prevalent in the world of sports now, as it should be. I mean, The Last Dance dropped and it was groundbreaking. I mean, obviously LeBron and his studio helped put together the Naomi Osaka documentary, which is really good as well. Obviously Malice at the Palace, the 30 for 30s, you know, like there's so much good content coming out. And I think that that's the best thing for sports. I mean, even the Formula One Drive to Survive show on Netflix helps you kind of connect with those drivers a bit more. You can kind of engage with them a bit, enjoy the sport a bit more. So for me, I think this is great. I wish more athletes had YouTube channels that they were posting videos on. I mean, Odell Beckham, Jimmy Butler, they have great ones if you don't know. Even like Thybulle and JaVale during the lockdown.
So good.
It's not that hard for them. And I mean, you look at Matisse Thybulle, like, he made some real money off that. He really pushed his career forward. He went on a lot of TV shows for that. I think a lot more players can do this. So it's exciting to see it, you know, documentaries for old players, but I want to see just as much content for current players.
Yeah, I'm not against that. I do also want to talk about that too, the Matisse Thybulle vlogs. I watched those religiously this summer when he was with Team Australia, the Australian national team, I should say, for the Olympics. That was awesome. So there's a lot going on, man. And like I always say, basketball never really stops. Even in the off season, even when we had an off season, we did for about 3 weeks, but we're back. The plan is every episode now will launch every Tuesday morning. That is our goal. We'll try and stick to it. Please hold us accountable if you can. That's all I have. Danny, any final words?
Yeah, I just want to remind the listeners, to whoever's out there, hey, we do, and we mentioned this a few episodes ago, I just want to mention it one more time. You know, we do take monthly contributors to our podcast. It just helps us keep quality up. It helps us, you know, make sure we have the best equipment, the best locations to be able to do this. I mean, hopefully we're going to start bringing on some really big name guests, and any contribution that you can put in does that. You know, if you go to our anchor page, you know, there's a button where you can click, that's money. You can have a monthly contribution. It can be super low, it can be high. I mean, whatever you want to support us, that would be great. We would really, really appreciate it. We get a little bit of monthly contribution every month, which is awesome. But, you know, obviously the more, the better quality our podcast will be. So if you are willing and able to contribute to Kicking It, that would be fantastic.
I will echo that. Yes, please. If you can, anything helps. Literally, we sound like we're just begging, but it'll only help for us. It'll only help to get the podcasts out more efficient and in a very professional looking manner. So that is all we have, but we will be back next Tuesday. It's getting closer and closer, guys, to the NBA season. College basketball is coming up.
the G League will get back going to, WNBA is wrapping up. Hoops never stop. That's Danny Belsito, the new Queens assistant men's women's tennis coach. I am Donnie Sherrell, saying goodnight and so long. Thank you for kicking it with Danny and Donnie. See you later.
Peace.